Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 86 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And in this episode, I am lucky enough to talk to Mike Johnson from Sugar Fryer Smokehouse in St. Louis. This one is just incredible. Number one, he's a great, great guy. Super, super forthcoming, humble, self-deprecating, sarcastic, and great spirits. And it's interesting because he's been in the restaurant business for a long time, and we talk about times when he is with Emeril in Louisiana in the early days, and Charlie Trotter in Chicago, and we talk about the Los Angeles restaurant scene a little bit, and then we go deeply into his restaurant journey. And he's had a lot of success, but he's also had a lot of failure, and he talks about that openly, and he doesn't have any trouble showing where he made mistakes and explaining those mistakes. And the success he has now, he definitely appreciates it more because of those mistakes. So if you're interested in opening a restaurant, or you're interested in the restaurant world, this one will be a great insight into that world. He has 12 locations of Sugar Fry Smokehouse. He has a new burger place called, semi-new burger place called High Point Drive-In, which there's going to be more Sugar Fire Smokehouses. There's going to be more High Point Drive-Ins. But it's going to be interesting for you to hear that journey and how he started out that first Sugar Fire Smokehouse and how that built upon all the success that he has now. We even talk about Bob's Burgers, the cartoon, contacted him, and they had a Bob's Burger Day at High Point Drive-In, which was a really cool story and really interesting. But it's just insightful and wonderful, and I know you're going to really enjoy it, and you're going to want to visit Sugar Fire Smokehouse when you come to St. Louis, especially this smoker inside of a shipping container, these smokers inside of a shipping container. You're going to want to see that because that sounds pretty incredible. And if you're a fan of the show, you most likely know that I have a huge, huge barbecue giveaway coming up. It'll be the first week of December. I've delayed it a couple weeks now because a number of people want to add their items. But so far, the haul is just incredible. 27 hats, 46 shirts, a hoodie, 24 koozies, 13 sauces, 17 rubs, 74 stickers, a cool bottle opener from ZZQ in Virginia. There's a tote, there's pins, there's autographed books, a photo from Robert Jacob Lerma that is signed, there's spices from Bodacious on Marbly. It's going to be incredible, and there'll be even more items than that. And I bring this up because I want to give you guys, you listeners, an opportunity to get a few more early entries in if you'd like. So here's three different ways that you can get early entries. You can get 5 early entries for each. If you subscribe to this podcast, you get 5 early entries. If you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you get 5 early entries. And lastly, if you comment on a YouTube video with the hashtag for the love of barbecue, and that's the number 4, the love of barbecue, you get 5 early entries. And there's going to be a lot of interest in this, so the early entries and the multiple entries will definitely help. But if you are digging these, I would hope that you would subscribe regardless so that you don't miss any episodes. I do have a YouTube channel at youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints, which I've mentioned has all these in the video format, so you can see the people that I'm talking to along with a bunch of other content, barbecue visits, butcher shop visits, just really cool meat-related things. And I also have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com. I can't thank Mike enough for participating. I know you're going to really like this. Good morning, Mike. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic. So what is like a usual day for you? Look, because you have so much going on.
Yeah, well, I mean, I usually get up pretty early and run. I get up at 5.
Wow.
And then I'll do that, and then I'll come just kind of get ready. We have a new baby. So
congratulations.
Yeah, that's probably, thanks. Well, me too. There's older kids too. So we have like, there's 9 and 15 and 18 and 19.
Wow.
But I usually start out, my first place I almost always go to we have a burger place called High Point Drive-In.
Yeah, I heard about that.
It's right by my house. So that's usually the first stop where I'll go to. And I like to go in and help them with the specials. And I'll help take pictures. Because I'm kind of funky about the pictures for social media.
Yeah, yeah.
We have a really nice social media following.
For sure.
All over, and I think a lot of it has to do with the funny names for a sandwich. And we post every day from each location. So I kind of just stay on top of that stuff. So I'll start at High Point.
Okay.
And I was there this morning, and the chef was off today, so they're having trouble coming up with a special. So I'll help them come up with a special.
Nice.
Something. Today we did the Fisco Melt. which is kind of half Frisco melt and half Philly cheesesteak.
Oh,
And
nice. That sounds really good.
it was awesome. I can always tell. I post it up, and within a minute, if it's gotten all kinds of action, I'll know it's good, and then I'll know it sucks if there's nothing. I usually go there, and then the office. I have an office near there,
Okay.
kind of. And I'll circle back. We have another thing called the Boathouse. It's not barbecue, but I have an old hickory pit there. It's really cool.
Oh, nice.
And a lot of times I'll swing by there because it's in the neighborhood. And then I'll start hitting the barbecue spots after that.
And there's right now you have, what, is it 8 barbecue spots? Or am I?
I think there's 12. We have 12.
Okay.
There's
1, 2. Yeah, 12.
Yeah, and I have we just opened one in Cape Girardeau, Missouri a few weeks ago. But they're mostly in the St. Louis region. I have one in we have one in Illinois right now,
mm-hmm.
One in Indiana. There's one that's going to open in 2 months in a suburb of Cincinnati in Kentucky.
Oh, wow.
And then we have a Denver store.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're going to have some more action out there. And then Scottsdale, I think, is getting pretty close on having some out there.
Wow, that's remarkable. I want to hear about the path to getting there and how did you
go? Sure, I might be in therapy. After this
story. Well, you can create any story you want too. It could be your magical journey that doesn't exist. Well, did you grow up in St. Louis?
Yeah, I was born in Biloxi, Mississippi.
Okay.
But I came to St. Louis in an early age, and I grew up here
okay.
in St. Louis.
You have a culinary background. Were you cooking as a child? Was that something, or barbecuing
yeah,
as a kid?
My dad was to travel a lot, and my mom was a terrible cook. So I used to cook a lot growing up, and that's basically how I got into it. I worked in some restaurants in high school, and then, you know, college time, 18, I was getting terrible grades, so oh, let me turn my phone off. Sorry. Sorry about that.
Shows that this is real, that it's not some kind of artificial.
Hello?
The president.
I'm going to need 5 minutes. Hold on. So I tried college for a couple months and I did terrible. I've actually had a pretty funny story. My mom called and said, "How are you doing?" I said, "Well, you're not going to believe this. I got a 0.4. And she said, she was like, "So I'm so proud of you. Are you serious?" I said, "Actually, my report card's upside down. It's not a 4.0. It's a 0.4.
That's
I was like, "Okay, well, I'll come get you in a couple of days." I got lucky. My dad was working in New Orleans. My dad owned a cement company in St. Louis, and it's a lot of river business. So a lot of his business was in New Orleans. And he was going, one of his favorite customers was based in New Orleans. And so I would go down there with him on business, and I love the food down there. And I decided to try and be a chef. And this is like a long time ago. So my dad immediately thought I was gay because I wanted to be a chef. Because back then it's like the only chef on TV was Jack Tripper and Three's Company.
Well, that's hilarious.
You know, so and it wasn't like an esteemed career. He was like totally embarrassed.
Yeah, isn't that funny how things have changed so much? Yeah.
Now it's cool, but I mean, it's not really cool, but I mean, people get excited about it, like, "Oh my God," you know, but back then it wasn't. It was like, more like, "Oh God."
Almost like, probably like you were a cook on like a ship or something.
or like a, you know, cafeteria style or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But he says I got this buddy that is the best customer at this new restaurant that's going to open in New Orleans. It turned out to be Emeril's.
Ah.
And this guy, his buddy was Emeril's best customer at Commander's Palace.
Mm-hmm.
And then Emeril's, he was this really eccentric, kind of like mafioso kind of guy that would come in and he would write. He always carried a Sharpie on him and he would write, bring people to lunch and put a $100 bill in everyone's pocket. And he would write on the table. He'd run a tablecloth during lunch on a Sharpie, write notes, and then he'd have them go take it out and throw it away. It's
wow.
really weird.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't even think they wanted me there. And but he just said, I guess he talked to him and said that. Asked him to hire me and he said yeah, so I ended up working there for a while.
And what did you start out like at the bottom of the totem pole?
Prep cook. Yeah. But that was that's the best spot to start there because I would I spent a lot of time making first it would be like they'd show me how to make the roux for the gumbo. And so, you know, that's not it sounds stupid. Flour and butter, oil and butter, but it's a science,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can't just like, you know, and you're making like hundreds of gallons. So I just started out making the roux for months, and then I could add the vegetables, and then I could add the stock or whatever. So I really learned everything from the ground up there. And then it was really an accelerated program because it's such a, it was expanding, and it was right when he opened, and it was just getting famous, and it was.
And it was just famous. Was it just when he was starting to get famous too? Is that?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. He wasn't. Yeah. There was no Food Network. There was no.
No BAM.
No, there was no BAM there. that happened while I was there.
That must have been interesting to see, like firsthand.
Yeah. I remember. I'm going to Memphis to do a Food Network show because Food Network was in Memphis back then.
Oh.
He had some started some show that didn't work out. It was called How to Boil Water or something.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you're probably not old enough, but like, I helped out with these shows called Great Chefs in New Orleans. He was on, so I would kind of do the prep work for that. I mean, this is like 1990, 91, back in then.
Like early days. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, like all these famous people would come in, famous chefs especially. Like Julia Child was a frequent there, so I would like. Yeah, you know, I remember him like making something and him standing there saying, "Oh, you're cooking for Julia Child. Do you know what this means?" And I didn't really know what it meant.
And now you do. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So then, like, Charlie Trotter was coming there. And so I worked there for a few years.
Did you say Charlie Trotter? Is that how you?
Yeah. So he was there. They were friends, good friends. And they were doing dinners all the time. Like, there would always be these beard award dinners where all these famous chefs would come in. And he was really good friends with a chef called Norman Van Naken out of Miami. The early 90s, he was a big time chef. And Charlie was obviously a famous chef, and then it was just people from around the world, and they would, you know, every month there'd be all these famous guys there. And just after a few years, I said, "Hey, I don't want to live in New Orleans anymore. I want to go work somewhere else." And he basically said, "Where do you want to go? You want to go to Chicago, work for Trotter? You want to go to Miami? You want to go to LA and work for Michel Richard was a big guy in LA back then.
Wow.
Citrus was what it was called.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Citrus was one of the biggest restaurants in Los Angeles.
Yeah. So he's like, "Do you want to go work there?" And I thought about that really hard, but Charlie Trotter's was the most famous restaurant in the world at the time, and I ended up going there.
I remember when I went to Citrus once, because I went to like a little small stint in culinary school, but like something like in a mini mall, like it was around. But we went to Citrus for like our big graduation dinner, and Jackie Chan was there.
No way!
Yeah, so that was kind of cool. Like I'm like, yeah.
That's what's fun about LA. We were out there about a year ago. We went and just this one restaurant. It's an Italian place. We walk in and like the Osbournes are sitting there, and then like. The guy, who was there? Somebody like Pacino or somebody like that. And then the guy from Hawaii 5-0 was there, that Khan guy. Just they're all sitting there. That doesn't really happen in St. Louis.
Yeah, it is funny. If you do want to come to see stars and go to Los Angeles, like if you go to some of the hot restaurants or the big restaurants, you will see them. If you went to Nobu or something, you will see a celebrity.
They go there just because they want to get their ego satisfied.
There's that. And also they want to spend a lot of money on a meal and maybe take some, maybe take a business partner or take, that's always wondered. Like, so I know somebody that was, they wanted to go see the Kardashians. And so they went to Nobu in Malibu. And I thought like they were from from the Midwest. And I thought, well, this is strange. Like they're not going to see the Kardashians. There was a big table next to them. Kanye West sat down at the table and then all the Kardashians, like, so what's the odds of them like that night?
They don't get enough of them on TV. They got to go try and see them in person.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't. I've had enough of them a decade ago. But okay, so then did you choose to go to?
Yeah, I just picked Charlie. So I picked Trotter's, and so I ended up going and working there for a while. And it's a hard place to work. It's really demanding, and it's a high pressure environment. And there's a lot of screaming.
I can imagine.
On.
Yeah.
Honestly, I never had a problem there because I just keep really just, took his advice. Just keep your head down. Don't let all the noise happen. Just do what you're told. And whenever you're, like, this is from Emeralds. Like, when you're done with something, go ask everybody else what they need. You know what I mean?
That's great advice.
Yeah. So it's just I just always had my head down working. I never, no drama, nothing like that. So I did really good at Trotter's. And then I was there for a couple years. And then I went to France. Because at the time, I thought you needed credibility. You needed to work in France to have the credibility. So I worked over there and outside of Paris for a year. And then I went to California. I worked for Joaquim. Do you know Joaquim? Patina in LA, all those places, Pino Hollywood, all those. He's got some steak thing.
Yeah, he has he has a little empire. Yeah.
Yeah. So he'd opened a place in Napa called Pino Blanc.
Okay.
And it was opening. So I went to help. It's called something else now.
Okay.
It's closed. But I really liked Joaquim. I liked him a lot, and I liked his food style and all that. So I wanted to work for him. So I came. So I went out there and worked for him, and then I ended up coming back to St. Louis. So my parents were in St. Louis, and they said this restaurant by their house was for sale. So my dad helped me finance it.
Oh, cool!
I bought that. That was about 1997.
What was that? What was that first restaurant?
Oh, it's called Mira, and I don't even know what that means. I just MIR it means like look or something dumb. This is stupid.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, it was a fine dining restaurant, and you know, it won like best restaurant in St. Louis or whatever. But fine dining is like a whole, you know, especially in St. Louis in the late 90s, like they thought fine dining meant like, I mean, it was like mashed potato. If you could do like pipe the mashed potatoes or something, that's like, you know, and
That's
I'm doing
fancy,
all,
right? That would be fancy, right?
yeah, and I'm like doing all this Trotter stuff, and I don't know if they, I don't know. It was a good experience, but I sold it in 2002 probably, and started opening more of these kind of tapas bars. Like, kind of I did a Spanish place that still opened and did real good. Well, most of the restaurants I have are still, I had open are still open now, but I sold them off over the years. And I would even own one or two or three at the same time. And I have one that like did okay, and then like, you know, two that broke even, then two I would lose my ass on, so I never really made any money. So I did that for years, until probably I had a really cool Cajun kind of Caribbean place that's still open called Boogaloo.
Okay.
Still did so good. I opened that in 2003, and I think I sold it. It was my last place, and I was just doing terrible in a bad place personally. And I ended up selling that in about 2010 or 11. I was just going to quit because I didn't know that you can make money in the restaurant business. I thought it was just a place for
– Like it would be a job, kind of like a
– To go drink free booze and destroy their lives and lose their ass. You know what I mean? So that's why
– I bet a lot of people feel that same way too.
Yeah, man.
Well, they have the maybe aspiration, but then it doesn't go the way they think, and then they feel like
this everybody wants to get in the biz. Like, oh, you're such an incredible, you cook the best meals for all your friends. Everybody should share in this. You should open your own restaurant.
It's the easiest thing in the world. Yeah.
Oh, people still. We have people all the time here in St. Louis. Happens all the time. Every 6 months or so, someone will open a barbecue concept, and we do ours a little differently, but it'll be kind of like the exact same thing as us, which is fine. I didn't invent anything.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, what do you know? You gotta have originality, you know, if you're gonna be successful. And they're like, well, it's so easy. You just cook all the meat, and it's all done in the daytime. And all you gotta do is like make sandwiches and sell it till you're done. And it just looks so easy. And you guys are so busy. It's not for everybody, you know.
I think that's something that people don't understand, especially with the barbecue business. They think it's a really easy thing that you just like kind of set it and it goes.
Oh, it's the hardest thing I ever did in the restaurant business by far.
And that's interesting. I had read that too about you, and that you had said that, because I go on a, and why do you feel that? Why do you feel that way?
Just it's first of all, everybody thinks they're an expert on barbecue. It's not like it's, you know, fine dining French cuisine where like, you know, you can be eating shit or you can be eating something terrible. But it looks, has said it had foie gras on it, and you're like, oh, this is incredible. Everybody's an expert. They're all grilling in their backyards.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows how to make ribs. Everybody's an expert. Not only are they an expert, but where they're from and where they grew up is better.
Yeah.
Like I grew up in Arkansas. I'm gonna say that's our barbecue is good, but way better. I grew up in Texas. You know, it's way better there. You know, wherever Carolina, everyone's.
It's,
you know,
like a religion. It is. It's so interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, so many people from Kansas City here are like, well, I mean, this is okay, but like, you know, Arthur Bryant's is like way better. No offense. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I like savory sauce. I like sweet sauce. I like this. Yeah, like it's.
Yeah, and this, yeah, there's, and there, so everybody is an expert. You know, it's not so much, you know, I mean, there's a million other aspects to the restaurant business besides the food. Mm-hmm. There's the service, there's the hospitality, there's the keeping people happy. You got to keep the price point. You know, that's a volatile market, the meat market.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the price is up and down. You know, brisket price can, we sell, I mean, we're moving sometimes 10 tons of meat a day.
That's company insane.
Why more? Even more.
Probably more, yeah.
What if it goes up, if the brisket goes up 10 cents, that's costing $50,000 a week, a pound. You know what I'm saying?
Interesting. So yeah, like people don't think about that, yeah.
I can't be like, the brisket sandwich is going to be $18 a day. I'm sorry, the price went up.
Yeah, you can't have like a fluctuating chart.
No, we could get one of those TV menus, I guess, and just, you know, I can go in there in the morning and change
and
it.
It goes like, it changes as like the hour goes up. Yeah.
I mean, now we're so big that we're, you know, we're setting the price a year in advance. So we have a guy that sets the market for us. Like I'm locked in on beef and pork and ribs, and I'm set for the year, and I have like a limit, and so they're going into these massive.
Oh, that's great.
And everything, and so I'm set now, you know. But in, you know, the first couple of years, you know, like there's some swine flu or something where all the pigs are off.
Uh-huh.
And pork all of a sudden is up $2, And you're losing money every time you sell a slab of ribs. You know,
You have
it's
to eat
hard.
that. You can't just ch alter. Yeah, you can't just change your pricing like overnight. But I guess you have. Can you? Can you? So are you changing your pricing like then? This is like a kind of a weird. Like, do you change it? Like,
Every couple of years we'll look at it. But you have to still be, I mean, even though,
Like that, I'm just trying to think of it on a 12 restaurant basis. That's like a. That's interesting.
yeah, and they're in different parts of the country, so it's
Sure.
like, you know, we have a location in a small town an hour and a half south of here. These people don't want to pay $10 for a
Yeah.
sandwich. I mean, to them, I mean, you're in LA. Can you imagine paying $10 for a sandwich? You'd be dancing.
It'd be great.
You
It'd
know
be
what
fantastic.
I
But
mean?
places in North Carolina, they pay $4 for a sandwich. Yeah, it's
Unheard of. And but there, it's like the $10 for a sandwich. I mean, you know, it's, so you can't. There's a point where you just can't go any higher. You know, we just got to start figuring stuff out.
I want to talk about how you started Sugar Fire, but are they in general, are they all the same? Basically
Yeah.
the same. If you walk in, you're going to get the same thing, kind of.
Yes. Yes and no, because the concept that we came up with is because I'm a chef and most of our well, there's a whole thing. I'll just explain it real quick.
Okay, cool.
So it's old school. Well, we're in St. First of all, we're in St. Louis, so there's no style of it's not like Carolina or Texas or something. So I say we're in the barbecue triangle where there's Kansas City over here and Memphis over here and Texas over here, and there's no style, and they all have their own styles that they don't really deviate from.
For sure.
So I'm right in the middle of this triangle. So I think the Memphis ribs are the best. So we do our ribs, we do Baby Back's Memphis style. I think the Kansas City style pork is the best. So we're doing our pork Kansas City style. I think Texas brisket is the best because the way that everybody else here does brisket is something totally different than you. They cook it a lot less. They slice it a lot thinner. It's more kind of roast beefy.
Is it almost
You
like
know?
a Kansas City-ish kind of like
Yeah,
that?
you know what I'm saying? Like slice thin in the slicer. I like a big piece of brisket smoked really
Yeah, like
peppery
a
and fat and you know all that stuff. So everything is old school and this. So there's slaw and beans and potato salad. And so the main meats and that stuff is the same in every store. But each store has a chef, somebody like me that's worked in fine dining or wherever else. And they're controlling the special. So it's a cafeteria style. So you're gonna have all that stuff, but there's gonna be four or five new sides every day.
Oh, cool.
You know, two or three specials, different. We have a pie shop, so we have really cool pies and desserts
Yeah,
and stuff.
I mentioned that. I'm getting really into dessert and barbecue. I think that's a nice that marries, right?
Look up our pie shop. It's so cool.
Okay, cool.
So you can get like a quinoa salad or like a really beautiful something healthy. Like there's always fresh vegetables, and they're all open for you to look at. So you walk in, you see all this meat, like in Texas,
You have a
and
cutter
then.
at the beginning of the.
Yeah, so the guy said, he said, I want a little brisket and I want two ribs and I want a little sausage. And just like, you know, like Texas style. And no one here was really doing that in St. Louis. It's a style, you know, on the tray, nobody was doing that when we opened. I think a lot of people do it now.
Was that really difficult at first to get
Yeah,
people?
yes and no. I mean, people were really receptive to it because we got real crazy real quick.
Okay.
But there, you know, there's a lot of people that are looking at you like, what do you mean you're going to put on a tray? You know, you know, and then going on Yelp, like, oh, it's so gross. I went, you know, this is disgusting. I mean, I couldn't even get a plate, you know, and then they ran out of food at 7 o'clock and I got there at 9 o'clock and there was no food and screw them. It's awesome.
That is the best. That's the best.
I actually have, do you want to hear the best Yelp story of all
I
time?
would love to, yeah. I don't mind this is tangential because people love this. This is.
Okay. So I recently, so the first two, 3 months we were open there, I was stressed out. You know, it was like me and like two guys and it was crazy. So I would load the pit at night, you know, maybe sleep 2 hours there, get up at 5 in the morning, start pulling everything out, start doing all the sides. I would even run to like the Restaurant Depot to get some food, come back, write the specials up, and I'd stand there and cut all day. You know,
Oh.
I couldn't even take, I was thought about getting a bag to pee in because I couldn't even line because there was a line out the door. And so this is going on for months and I'm stressed out. And I started doing this thing that I would never do anymore. I start reading the reviews online. They're mostly good, but there's always one, and it screws you. You read the one that's terrible, and it really screws you up. And I shredded this guy. So he wrote some really mean stuff, and I shredded him. And this is like in 2012. It's still online because this guy I know found it like 2 months ago, and he's like, "Holy shit, this is the greatest
I'm
Yelp."
going to try to find it.
I'll send it to you. It's in
Okay,
my
cool.
phone. It's really hard to find.
Okay.
So basically, this guy says it gave me 1 star, which is fine. And I'm okay. I'm open to criticism. You know, I don't care. I would listen to everybody. It's fine. And he said, First of all, beware of any barbecue restaurant that keeps a lot of sauces on the table. And I'm a chef, so and St. Louis is a sauce town. So we always have some crazy sauces. Like we have the regular ones, and then we make up some funny ones. And he starts railing on all the sauces. And then he says, the ribs are what I would call my grandma's gummy ribs because my granny has no teeth with these soft gums, and she could bite right through the ribs. And he said, the chef, obviously they boiled the ribs, and the chef was so lazy. I looked at the bottom, and there was no seasoning on the bottom, sign of a lazy chef. So now he's attacking me personally. And just going in on
stuff,
like just shredding me. And I was reading it, and I just went totally, I was like went crazy. And I responded, it was the second one I responded to, and it's the last one I ever responded to. And his name was, I think it was Mark. And I said, he just said a bunch of mean stuff. And I said, dear Mark, your grandma's gums aren't as soft as you'd think. Trust me, I'd know. And then I said, next time you call me lazy, come say it to my face. And then I just went in on him. And within like an hour, he changed it to a 5-star review.
Wow.
But now, he said he was sorry. But now I got this company in Texas that answers all my reviews. And I look at them. I look at the responses and I approve them. But I can't, you know, I have my friends that own businesses. They're like, how do you deal with all these people talking trash? And I just don't care anymore. I mean, if something happened with this, if somebody got a bad meal, I believe them because we're serving 10,000 people a day.
And it can happen. It does.
It happens every day. I mean, we're trying the best we can with this volume. We're putting out the best product we can at this volume. I mean, stuff's slipping. I mean, I am 100% convinced if I had a small place where I did 200 people a day, you know, lunch Monday through Friday, I think I could have the best barbecue restaurant in the world. I'm not just being cocky. I know I could do it. Mm-hmm. But I'm spread out around the whole country and I got my own problems and, you know, there's thousands of, I mean, it's terrifying the volumes that we do in some of these stores. So I know.
And you guys can get hit with a big crowd and then all of a sudden, like it gets, like it becomes mayhem and then something gets sloppy. Like it could happen. It's not.
Yeah. It's more, it's just controlled mayhem. I mean, we're just trying to control the mayhem.
I think that also is great advice for people to not necessarily, if they could read their, maybe read the Yelp reviews, but to respond just.
I wouldn't read them. I don't read them.
I would, yeah, because I work for a place in Los Angeles, and the owner would have me respond as him and just rail into people. Like, he'd tell me what to say. And they'd specifically say, like, the guy in the back with the gray hair, he was a total dick in this. And so because he'd give people glare. He'd glare at people all day long. And so you just can't, like, because yeah, you do know the customer is important.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, everybody, that's another rule kind of we have too. No one at Surefire is really allowed to say no to anybody about anything.
Okay.
So someone can come in with some crazy request. Do you guys have sushi? Like anything? I'm just like, yeah, we got it. Give me a few minutes, and I'll go and get sushi. I don't care. Somebody's gonna have to get something, no matter how stupid it is or crazy. Customers are always right, even if you know they're wrong, which they mm-hmm. sometimes they are. You know, it's like, you know, you're right. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Fix it.
And I think people too, like, they look them sometimes as the enemy, and it's like they're the reason you exist.
Yeah.
So what got you to open the first Sugar Fire? And Sugar Fire, yeah. Is there a specific name? Is it because of the caramelization of the ribs? Or so?
what do you get when you mix sugar and fire? What do you get?
Like a caramel,
I don't know. I just make that up. I'll tell you about the thing. So I had bought
You scared
my
me
dad.
For a second. I'm being tested all of a sudden.
Yeah, this is a test. I had the last restaurant I had with the Caribbean place. My dad, Old Hickory is like the standard barbecue pit in the United States. I mean, if you're not doing all wood, you want an Old Hickory. The Southern Pride is there up there too. But to me, Old Hickory is I think the best barbecue restaurants use Old Hickory. It's an incredible piece of equipment. And they're about an hour south of St. Louis. It's where they make them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now I'm really, you know, we're friends with them and everything. We have, we got like 40 of them right now. But so my dad was like, you know, you should do barbecue. And I'm like, thanks, Dad. You know, Mr. Cement Business or whatever. So I was like, well, I don't have any money. So he bought a pit. I went with him to Old Hickory, and he bought a pit for the restaurant. He's like, just do it. This is like in 2007. I still have that pit. So I was working with it for years and years and having fun with it and doing a few competitions and just getting better and, you know, just trying to understand barbecue mm-hmm. with it. And then eventually I sold that restaurant, and I was like, the one thing I said was like, when I sold it, I was like, I'm going to take this is out of the deal. And I didn't think I wanted to do barbecue. I just knew it was worth like 10,000 bucks, and I was broke. So I didn't know what I was going to do. And I have some partners in Sugarfire, so Charlie and Carolyn Downs. And they'd always been investors in my restaurants, and we've been friends for a long time. And they had they have a really cool restaurant called Cyrano's in St. Louis, which is like a famous, it's been open 40 years, like a famous dessert place. And so they let me be the chef there. After I sold my last restaurant, I was working there like three nights a week, and I was depressed and I wanted to change careers and stuff. And I started talking to Carolyn, my partner, because she's like a famous pastry chef, and she's always won best desserts in St. Louis. And she's an amazing woman. She still works all day, and her pies are ridiculous. And so we kind of had this idea, hey, maybe someday, you know, I don't know, maybe someday we'll, you know, I can do barbecue. It's simple. I don't have to not fine dining. Don't have to worry about all these assholes. The steak's not cooked right. You know, and servers are crazy, and bartenders are always trying to steal. You know what I mean? I don't deal with those people. They're driving me nuts. I'd like just to open a casual place where it's just me and the cashier. And so Sugar was basically the pies, because originally it was pies and shakes and stuff. Okay. And then the Fire was the barbecue. So that's where we got Sugar Fire from. And really, probably owned 25 restaurants together over the years. And the name thing is always, it's always been kind of a good gift I have, is coming up with good names. But I'll always come up with like 20 names, and other people put in names, and we'll just kind of whittle them down over time. But Sugarfire just sounds like such a good name, doesn't it?
It does. It does. It sounds, and it's also something like, you're like, what is that exactly? What
I know. Exactly. It keeps you guessing. Yeah. It's, yeah, nobody knows what it means, but it's mysterious.
It's better than Mira, I think.
Oh, yeah. It's provocative. Nobody knows what it means. So anyway, so we're just talking about this, and we're kind of looking at spots. And then a guy I know in kind of a really bad location, which I thought was a bad location. There was a Dickie's barbecue there.
Okay.
I don't think it was doing good. I never even knew it was there. And this guy, this landlord says, hey, they're 4 months behind on their rent. They owe me like $30,000. He said, I want to throw them out, and I'm going to keep all their stuff. Oh. He's like, do you want it? He said, you can have it if you sign a lease. So we didn't have any. Oh, I didn't have any money. I had nothing. I had like my car repossessed. Like I had nothing. Like literally nothing. And so I went and looked at it and kind of papered off the wall, and we took it. So we opened this place for nothing. Like, I mean, like we opened it for Sugarfire for under 100 grand.
Wow.
And it does about $7 million a year in business, which even like, I mean, it is crazy.
Yeah, that's insane.
I mean, but there's no parking. It's in a strip mall. That's not like the best looking strip mall. And it's in this really weird part of St. Louis called Olivet. I would never have opened a restaurant, never in a million years. You would never open a restaurant there. Just wouldn't do it. There's like two, like never. But it turns out when I look at it now, it's the best spot ever to open a restaurant, to open a barbecue restaurant, because it's got the richest two areas are right behind it. There's a poor area, kind of up to the north of it. There's a huge business park to the southeast, and huge industrial park to the north. And barbecue is about everybody. It's about rich people, poor people. And then catering is another massive part. It's 35% of our business is catering. So all this business. So I would never open a fine dining restaurant there, but it just turned out that it was the ultimate spot.
Yeah, that sounds like the perfect spot.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Were you doing catering at the beginning too? Is that something that you just?
Yeah, not really. No, oh. No, it just kind of came. But anyway, so we didn't have no money, so it wasn't like I was hiring a contractor. So I basically papered up the windows, and me and this Mexican guy, I'm friends with Forever Jose, we basically went in and took a chainsaw, we're like, cut a hole in the kitchen wall at Dickie's, and just kind of patched it up, and boom, there was the restaurant was ready. Holy. So and then I took the Dickie's barbecue pit sign. I took that song. I was like, I took off Dickies, and it still says barbecue pit, but it says barbecue pit.
That's rad.
It's awesome. And then the inspector shows up, and he's like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, did you get a permit? I'm like, what do you mean I needed a permit? I'm sorry. And he was so pissed. He was like stomped around, and he's like, well, draw up some plans and turn them in, and then I'll approve them. And then – he was just really upset.
Yeah, but there was a hood. There was everything you needed for a restaurant, right? Like,
yeah. Oh, it was ready. Everything. Soda machine, like all the equipment, the holding cabinets, smoker, You know, they had an old hickory pit smoker back there. I mean, it was perfect.
Is it still like that right now? Like, did you guys?
Yeah, they never changed it.
That's
Yeah,
awesome. That's
same
cool.
thing. Same. We just literally took a sawzall and just went the whole kitchen. I mean, I'm cutting through like electrical lines, like blowing up and stuff. Like, I had no idea. I just cut it out and then we patched it up.
You should have filmed all this. This would have been a great.
Don't any evidence at the time.
That's true. They still probably don't.
And so, I mean, basically, we got open, and honestly, I didn't have all the meats figured out. Like the ribs, I was cooking, but I don't think I was doing them really great. The brisket I had, it's not rocket science. You know, you get a good piece of brisket, salt and pepper, and a little rub. You cook it to a certain temperature. You know, it's not, and pork is hard to screw up. You know, the ribs are a little different. I think they're a little harder. And turkey is, you know, I'm a chef, and I could figure out turkey. And sausage, we made a great sausage. I was making sausage back then, which stopped after like 2 weeks. So we took our recipe to some big company, and they make it now.
Gotcha.
And we were making sauces at the time too. I mean, everything we were making there.
Well, you had to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it was me and my buddy Dave, who's my partner now, and a bunch of other, and some Sugar Fires and some other restaurants, and a bunch of other people.
What was the reception first? Were people like digging it, or were people like?
I sort of weirded it out at first because I would have that whole brisket with the whole cap on. And I said, "Do you want it fat or lean?" And they'd be like, "Fat? I don't want the fat. What are you talking about?" So eventually, actually, we only do flats now because St. Louis is a flat town. You'd be surprised.
Oh, interesting.
Nobody wants. I mean, once a week, I'll get some points in and I'll do some burn-ins or something.
Okay.
But it's just a business. I mean, they're just not having it here. It's not a cultural. It's not. They hear fat or they see a piece of fat and it's coming back.
Wow.
Every time.
Really?
100%, yeah.
So it's the people that explore that maybe go to Texas and...
1,000, they'll say, where's the fat?
Yeah.
Where's the top? And like, I don't know, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's sold out.
Burn-ins times, you know, we might have someone in the back or something.
That's interesting. That's a neat little piece that I didn't know about, okay.
Yeah, yeah, and spares. Nobody will eat a spare to save their life here. A spare rib, never happened.
Interesting.
It's considered cheap, and sometimes spares are more expensive than baby backs. And but nobody would ever eat a spare rib.
So you're
here.
Primarily baby backs.
All baby backs.
All baby backs. Yeah.
Yeah.
At that first restaurant, how long until you opened the second one? Like, what was the?
So what happened was, it got busy within. You know, I remember I said, we said, oh my God, if we can do $2,000 a day in sales, this would be amazing. And then it went from the first week to then it was like, oh my. And then I remember even like after like 3 weeks, we're going to do 4,000. I said, what's the total? And they said 3,800. And I had them run my credit card. I'm like, we did 4,000. Yeah. And then it would be like, well, we did 5,000. We'll never do 5,000. That'd be crazy. And it was never, we never do 10,000. We never do 15. We never do 20 in a day. We never do 25 in a day. We never do 30 in a day. We never do 35 in a day. We never do 40 in a day. I mean, this is like, it just numbers just went crazy. And that, cause after like 3 months I got on Barbecue Pit Masters. And I think after that is kind of when, and they filmed it and then it came out pretty quick. And then
I think
so
that's the first time I saw you.
Yeah. So probably, and even on that show, I'd never really done a competition before. So like I did chicken against these two awesome barbecue guys who are still my friends, Slaps in Kansas City and Fergalicious in Kansas City. And we still talk all the time. I mean, like weekly, we're always hanging out and talking. And they did the chicken thighs like you're supposed to do. But I'd never even heard of that. Like I took the chicken and broke it down and I had like, you know, it looked like something, it looked like a French laundry box. And I'm thinking, I got this. And Myron's looking at the box like, I don't know what that is. You know,
yeah, with that look that you
yeah, the confused look he gets. I actually spent a couple weeks with him in Australia recently. It was the best time. I learned so much from him. It was amazing. Oh, but anytime he sees food, he says, if it's not McDonald's, he says, if I eat that, I'll be shitting like a wild dog. It's basically a McDonald's diet. I learned more from him than anybody, I think. Yeah, I think he's the best.
So did you, after Pitmasters, did you stay in contact with him? Because I read something like that.
Big Mo's good, really good buddy of mine.
Mo Queso?
He came and did a class at a Sugar Fire this year. I mean, I see him all on the circuit. Like, we'll see him in Memphis in May. And, you know, Tuffy, I went and took his class, and he's like, but they're all three, like, the coolest guys.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
And so talented and good at what they do. And I can't even pick a favorite because I love all of them. But I see him at the Royal or – We see him all over the place. I talked to Mo probably more than anybody. And then Tapia, I'll see a few times a year. And then Meyer and I, I'll see him at Memphis in May. I did this Australia thing with him. So it got real busy. And the first year, we won Best Barbecue in St. Louis. Because there's two, I think there's two of the best barbecue restaurants in St. Louis in the country, in St. Louis. That's Pappy's and Bogart's, and they've been around for a while, and they're both amazing. And they won like Thrillist Best Barbecue and Food and Wine Best Barbecue, and they're both like incredible. And for us to be on the same level with them was really a big deal. And then we ended up opening a second one, and then after our second one, we had a guy come that wanted to do a franchise, and I didn't want to do it, and he turned out to be amazing. He owns three of them right now, and he's got like four under construction.
Oh wow!
So, and he's the best operator, probably better operator than we are.
Is he franchised? But do you still go to those locations? Is that something that you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't go every day, but
no, of course not.
I hit all of them. I hit them all. Yeah.
So that's part of your 12 restaurant kind of little empire. Yeah. That's expanding. That's. So,
yeah, but then I hit the other ones too that aren't barbecue also, because the burger thing, frankly, is kind of getting crazy too. We got another one. We're building that two of them right now, and I got a couple more in the works.
I've heard that you're serving thousands of customers, right?
Yeah. Every day it's crazy. We had, you're in a, so like a month ago, somebody from LA called. It was Bob's Burgers. You ever seen the show Bob's Burgers?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I love that show.
Yeah, me too.
It's super underrated. Like it's freaking hilarious.
Man, they called last month. This is a funny story. This is a funny LA story too. They called and said, "Hey, our season premiere is coming up in like a week. We want to take over a restaurant in the U.S. and make it into a Bob's Burgers and give away 1,000 free burgers.
Okay.
And you're under consideration." I was like, "Guys, come on, let's do it." So they did it, and they put it together in like a week. But the funny thing was, they said, How much would it cost to do 1,000 burgers and shut your restaurant down for a day?" So I called my partner. I'm like, "Oh, what's a good day there? Like on a Sunday?" He's like, "Well, a good Sunday for us is about $10,000." So I called him back and I was like, "Yeah, we'll do it for $10,000." And then they like laughed and were like, "Done." Fuck, I should have asked for $50,000.
You could have, and you would have probably got it.
It was like this joke, like I owe $10,000. This is Fox.
Yeah, that's like our petty cash drawer. Well, this.
Oh, not even. Yeah, like their assistant producers have it in their pocket.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, so that we did that last week for a premiere. It was amazing.
Do you have photos of that?
Yeah. Look. Just go on Facebook or something.
Yeah.
I got drone footage. There was a line going. Probably 7,800 people in line at one point.
Did the cast come? Is that something that they did? Like, or was it just for promotion?
For promotion.
Wow.
They kind of changed the look. They brought in all this artwork and changed the windows and hung stuff and, put down floor stuff. And
did you have like really, the sign in the back that the,
the burger of the day. The burger special of the day. Yeah.
What was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, we did.
Is it always like a pun, right?
Yeah. It was called "Don't You Forchette About Me," and it was a four cheddar burger. And so everybody got a burger and fries. That was it.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. That's killer. That's like, who would have thought from like your lowest times in the restaurant business to be where you are today?
Oh, dude, I know. Like that's great. Oh man, I mean, it's just the stuff we get to do. Like, I mean, I travel the world. Every month or two, I'm cooked at the barbecue at the U.S. Embassy in Ireland, the U.S. Embassy in Buenos Aires. I'm in Australia all the time, Europe all the time doing barbecue stuff.
Wow.
We were just in Brazil doing this thing called churrascada. If you'd never seen
it. Yeah, I heard about that. Well, I heard about it last year.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, I get to go all over the world. I get to meet rock stars. I mean, we cater every rock star that comes to town. Any band that comes to town calls us. I mean, it can be anybody.
So then what advice would you give to someone that's at that low point? Like, is there advice that you can even give to someone, or is it just because you can't say like put your head down and do it, because not everyone is going to be successful? But
I don't know. I mean, I guess you just gotta. I mean, I'm so lucky. I mean, me and my partner, literally every day, we're like, we take these lessons that we learned from having these terrible businesses, and we just don't ever take anything for granted. You can just never ever. You can't stop for one day. You can't take your foot off the gas because anything can happen at any time. I mean, someone can put something stupid on social media. We have people, like, we're always trying to make funny special names. I've had people do offensive stuff in other stores, make political statements.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
very dangerous. It can be the end of everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know,
could be a
everyone. We're Switzerland. You know, I don't care who you voted for. I don't care if you voted for anybody. You know, it's just nobody cares. I mean, we're trying to feed everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You can never post anything political, racial. I mean, there's nothing that could remotely offend anybody. There can be nothing offensive.
Yeah, because there's been like little things that people have written on Starbucks cups that have caused huge damage to them.
Nothing. Yeah. It can be nothing.
Yeah. So you guys are open 7 days a week?
I pay rent 7 days a week. I'm open 7 days a week. That's my favorite saying. Yeah. That's the other thing too about barbecue that I love. And people in the restaurant business know this. Your worst days ever are the Super Bowl, Christmas, Thanksgiving, Mother's Day, Father's Day, you know, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, 4th of July. These are the worst days ever in fine dining restaurants. In barbecue, they're the best days ever.
Exactly.
So we'll do, I mean, we'll stay up until 1 o'clock on those days and just crush it and do like, you know, just insane numbers and then shut it down.
Yeah. Yeah. The people lining out the door. I remember doing turkeys and stuff and rent. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now so then what are your hours then? What time do you guys open?
We open at 11 and then close when it's out. So usually we'll make it till 7:30 or 8. And when we try and get our, you know, it's kind of a science on how much to cook. You know, the chefs have it pretty much figured out by, you know, weather. I mean, there's a lot of things going to it, weather, days, all this stuff. But you try to cook the same amount every day. And when it's out, it's out. There's locations we have that no matter what are doing a ton and a half a day, like our bigger locations.
Crazy.
And then it's done. So.
And what's that smoker that I saw that shipping container? What is that?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So in downtown St. Louis, the city wanted us to come down there really bad. We're right in front of where the Rams used to play.
Okay.
And now it's the convention center. So they want it so bad that we couldn't have a smoker in the building because it's a big residential building and they didn't want a smoker. So they blocked an entire city street, half of it, and let us put a shipping container with two giant old hickory smoker pits in it. So it's really cool. So half of a major street downtown has one of our smokers sitting right on the side.
Like that's just the coolest thing. I saw that. I couldn't believe it. And I've told people, I'm like, that's what you should do. You should put it in the street.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I still can't believe it's there. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that but it shows that they really wanted to have you there and that they were willing to do.
Yeah, yeah. We work with the city. We love the city. Like downtown St. Louis gets a bad rap. I love the city so much. We're opening a burger place across the street from there.
Oh wow!
Right across the street. So.
You have so much going on. Like, and you seem like a pretty mellow guy. Like not mellow, like you're engaged, but you seem like you're taking
I'm this. Sedated. I'm heavily sedated right now.
What's that?
I'm heavily sedated right now. I'm just kidding.
That's good. So yeah, I told him. I asked Megan. I said, "Could you make sure that he's heavily sedated because he gets out of control?" No, that's so rad. Like I definitely when I visit, I'd like to go. I want to go to that first location first. Because
oh yeah, dude, just text me or do you have my number?
I don't have your number. We'll exchange it.
I'll get Megan. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or whatever.
But yeah. I'll get it. But I thank you for taking the time. I've been trying to.
Oh yeah, anytime. I've watched some of your episodes. It's really fun. I know all those guys, so it's fun to watch them.
Yeah, that's cool. That's awesome. Maybe there's some people that go. I'll text you. There's some people that I'm hunting down that maybe you can give them a nudge for me.
You should get. Did you ever do Carrie Bringle?
Yeah.
He's so fun to talk to.
God, what's funny too is after I talked to him, a lot of people. I didn't know that he has all these different stories for his leg. That.
Oh, I know.
Like he says, like an alligator got it, or like some kind of war. Well, enjoy the rest of your day, and thank you,
you too,
so much. So much for this, and what a killer job you're doing. I'm so excited. I want to try I love burgers like nobody's business, so I can't wait to.
Oh yeah, man. Yeah.
What's the burger like there? Like, is there a specific?
It's like a Shake Shack burger. Okay. It's a special blend of brisket, chuck, and short rib.
Nice.
It's kind of like a Creekstone, kind of a nicer blend of beef, and it's a smash patty, and then I have a locally made potato bun. Kind of like, you know, those Martin's potato rolls, mm-hmm. like Shake Shack and those guys.
Yeah, for sure.
I kind of gave that to a friend of mine, an Italian guy here in St. Louis. And I had him do a potato, his first potato roll, but it's amazing. I like it a little better.
That's cool.
And then we butter toast that and then, you know, just use nicer ingredients, I think, than a normal place.
Wow.
So.
That's cool. Well, I'll look at the menu after I get done with this. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And I'll share like too that the Bob's Burger thing because I think that's such a cool.
Oh yeah, you guys see the video? It's crazy. Just kind of scroll down about a week ago.
Okay.
You see the video of just how many people were at the Saints? Insane.
That's amazing. Isn't it amazing what people will do too? Like people line up for stuff and yeah, it's like,
camped out for 24 hours for a $10 burger, free 10 for free burger and fries.
But essentially, I guess they're camping out for an experience, right? That's like
Yeah.
that's the for saying
Yeah.
that they went there and taking pictures of
Oh,
it.
yeah.
That's
Yeah.
cool. All right. Well, have a great rest of your day.
Okay, buddy.
All
You
right.
too, man. Good talking to you.
But if you are digging these, I would hope that you would subscribe regardless so that you don't miss any episodes. I do have a YouTube channel at youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints, which I've mentioned has all these in the video format. So you can see the people that I'm talking to along with a bunch of other content, barbecue visits, butcher shop visits, just really cool meat related things. And I also have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com. But enjoy this.